Good morning, everyone. I want to share a subject this morning that's a difficult subject to understand. It's probably one of the mysteries in the Bible that I don't claim to understand everything about it. Nevertheless, I think we need to look at a little bit so that we have a understanding of what our position is, not only in Christ, but also what Satan wants to do. It's been said that from the beginning he was a murderer and a liar, and that all the Ten Commandments that we have in Exodus 20, he violates them all. I could go through each one, and you could say, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," and he loves gods, little g gods. He loves diversity of gods. And the one thing that I am amazed at is that he wants mankind to unite with him in rebellion against God. So he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a thief, he has us commit adultery, he has us to covet, he has us do all these things. And there is a sense in which, from the very beginning with the fall of Adam, he's been doing everything he can to do to unite mankind against Christ and against God. And I want you to know that he's already lost. He hasn't had that ultimate judgment of being in the lake of fire yet placed on him, and the fallen angels and the false beast and the false prophet and mystery Babylon, all these things in Revelation that we read about and we're warned about. We need to take a look at these as intentions that he has to go against God. His one thing that he wants is to blaspheme God. In Isaiah 14:12, it talks about five I wills, that he will ascend his throne above God, that he will do this, he will do this. But he's limited somewhat in his own ability to make those things come about, so he uses humankind to do that. Every time that we submit our flesh, our own nature, to doing the things that are wrong, we're giving him a body. All right? It probably could be said that there is an unholy trinity. We know the holy trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but Satan is, he's a father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. So he is like a father. And his son, he doesn't have a son. Many would love to envision some big antichrist coming on the scene one day and ruling and reigning over the earth and subjugating God's people. But there may be some person out there, and I'm not going to try to figure out who that is, or if that is something that's going to happen. But I know that we are antichrist when we follow our flesh. So therefore, we are somewhat like unto children of darkness when we adhere to our flesh. And we know that he's a spirit. All right, he doesn't have a physical body per se, but he does rule and reign through the systems of this world. There's a passage of scripture in Revelation 13 that all of us have heard about, the mark of the beast in our right hand and our forehead. And the right hand represents our labor. The forehead represents our will. So do we subjugate ourselves in our labor toward worshiping Satan and our will? Okay, we know that there is a passage that says that these are whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, written before the foundation of the world. But I really think that even God's children can willfully labor and willfully will to do in the bidding of Satan. So we need to take that as a warning. And something that is true, I believe, throughout time is that Satan is always ruled by forced compliance. And he wants to unite the world. toward opposition against God. But the Lord has put him in a bottomless pit. This world's a bottomless pit. It's not a hole that he's in and he's looking up and maybe can see some light. He has chains and he's restricted right now from uniting mankind again one more time. But he has done that 6 times in the past. All right, because there's a passage of scripture in Revelation 13 and 17 talks about him. It talks about an image of a beast. And in Revelation 17, it talks about Mystery Babylon, a whore, a mother of harlots and abominations. So we have a system out there of religious activities that we as God's children need to stay away from, and we need to be warned that there is coming a day when he will unite the world, I believe, in a one-world governance. He will be loose for a season to come against the camp of the saints about in that holy city. He will be more tyrannical than Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Babylon Empire. All the empires of the past are small compared to this empire that's coming. And I don't want to scare us, but yet at the same time we need to be warned, because that kingdom will be destroyed by Jesus Christ coming on a white horse. The Son of Man will destroy it, but it says that he will come against the camp of the saints about and unite an army against Jesus Christ and his followers, and he will attack the remnant. And I spoke on that a few Sundays ago about the remnant, the lepers. We are lepers in our flesh, and we need to come and worship Jesus Christ for healing us of leprosy. We need to be that one that comes back and falls at our feet and says, thank you. Most of God's children in this world, I believe, are the other 9 that go their way. You know, they're born again, but they really don't grow up very much. They're going to heaven, but I believe when this system comes around, they're going to be prone to want to follow that system in their flesh. Can they ever lose their eternal life? No, they can't. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We cannot lose our salvation. No religious system, no mother of harlots or abominations can cause us to lose our eternal life. But we can be tried by fire. In other words, our works can be tried. And if we're following our flesh, we will suffer loss, but yet we will be saved. So the question I have for us today is, are we ready for such a system? What system in the Bible? I mean, when Adam was told by Satan, you'll be as gods if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is that what we want? To be as gods? I don't want to do that, but yet our flesh, my flesh, says to do that all the time. I want to be as a little god. And that's bad. Terrible. Our old nature does that, but our new nature will never do that. Our new nature can't sin. So praise God, we have something within us that's born of God that cannot sin. But we have something in us that longs to be like a child of Satan. And that's not good. So we need to think, very first murder on this earth by Cain was because he hated his brother. And he said to God, I'm going to give you fruit and vegetables from my garden, what I make. And God says, I have no respect for you or your sacrifice. Well, that's the problem right there. The very first religious act, you could say, was there because he offered something to God that was of himself. His own right hand and his own will. He offered something that God does not accept. But Abel offered a better sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. So today, right now, we're offering a blood sacrifice. What is the blood sacrifice? That there is one who died for us and was made to be sin who knew no sin, and that he was buried in the lake of fire for 3 hours from 12 to 3 on that dreadful day of vengeance, and God the Father placed on him his wrath that we deserve, and he bore our sin. And we were in him, but we didn't suffer that lake of fire. Legally, we had to be in him. In order for us to be in glory one day, we have to legally be in him. Therefore, he's 100% sure that he will save all his children. It's not a chance system. It's definite. It is a complete, 100% wonderful system that we understand in grace that he was and is our Savior. So I want to share a little bit about enemies of God. Who are the enemies of God? In James 4, 1 through 10, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? We're talking about God's children. We have a war going on inside, whether we want to know it or not, or believe it, we have a war. If we are children of God, we already are born with an old nature, but when we are children of God, born again, we have something completely opposite of our old nature. When I was flying in Baghdad in the Gulf War, I knew I was over the enemy when I was being shot at. All right? So we need to realize, when are we being shot at? Some of us just fly along thinking, well, nothing's going on, but they're actually bullets in the air coming at us, all right, or missiles coming at us. And that was my job, to go destroy the enemy before they could destroy me or the planes behind me. So I had to know the enemy. And that's something that we need to realize, is we need to understand who our enemy is. We continue. Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it unto your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do we want to be an enemy of God? Well, we're being an adulteress. All of the church is viewed as a female, a woman, all right? And then when we follow the dictates of a worship where that woman is an adulteress, what does that mean? She will have intimacy with anybody. She will fornicate with anyone. All right, that's what religion does. Well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it's all okay. Now we have a picture of the mother of harlots. In Revelation 17, we see that this woman is actually a religious system to subjugate God's people, and that's what Satan likes. And she sits on a colored scarlet beast. And in Revelation 13, we see that beast. It's a system of false worship. So that's an enemy of God. We ourselves are enemies of God in our flesh, but there are some definite enemies of God. So I would say the first beast in Revelation 17 is a secular beast. It's a world system that's going to rise up and subjugate man in a one-world governance. Rome was the last head. There were seven heads. There was Syria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greek, and Roman empires were all attempts by Satan to unite mankind against God. We live right now in somewhat the end. I almost think that Rome is still alive because it was a head that was wounded and revived. And the whole world, it says, marveled at her. And we see that churches become overstate. And we've seen the commingling of church and state, and that brings problems, because eventually Satan will enter that system and subjugate man. But it says in Revelation that Satan was bound for 1,000 years. I don't know when that happened. We know that Rome fell in 476 on September the 4th due to the Germanic tribes overcoming Rome. But I don't know when that 1,000 years began, and it's not maybe a definite 1,000 years. Suffice it to say, it's a number known only to God. But the Lord stopped him from having a world governance. And then the populations moved throughout Europe and all over the world. And yeah, today we have the Third Reich with Nazism, or England being all over the world. But that's small compared to those kingdoms in the past. That was worldwide. So what we're looking for is another worldwide dominance. And Satan's going to enter that system. He's going to be loose for a season to come against God's children. He's going to come against spirit and truth worship. It says in Revelation that he would come against the saints about in that holy city. This morning, what we're preaching is grace. We're trying to get away from law. Thou shalt do this, this, and this in order to have eternal life. We don't preach that. We preach that our whole eternal life is in the hands of Jesus Christ, and that he did exactly what he came to do. So we don't have any rules and regulations, but yet at the same time, our love for God, we do what we do because of what we are. We don't do what we do to get something. If we do what we do to get something, then our right hand is corrupt. Our forehead's corrupt. Because that's what the system of Satan is trying to do. And he wants that mark. And I don't know what that mark is in the future. It could be a technological mark. Technology is what's going to unite the world, I believe, in opposition. We're seeing some of those things happen right now where it seems like, well, we don't have a choice. Yeah, we do have a choice. Our choice is to not submit. Whatever that may bring, our choice is to say no and not submit. If we lose this, then we lost our freedom. And if we don't try our best to run to God and for his help, that doesn't mean that Satan might not bind the whole world together and if you don't do this or that, I'm going to kill you. I don't know what's going to happen. But there's a line that we need not to cross, and we need to be ready for when that comes. And I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know. Maybe the world would go on for another 1,000 years. But the thing, again, that's definite is that he's loose for a season. He's coming against the camp of saints in that holy city, which is spirit and truth worship. And he's going to try to unite the world against God. And Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse, and he's going to take him and put him in the lake of fire. He's going to be loose for a season, but he's not going to win. Legally, he's already lost at 3 p.m. His head was bruised. He's in a daze for the last 2,000 years, you could say. If you want to call him a serpent, he's had his head cut off, but the head can still bite. We've won. But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that he has been defeated by the perfect human being, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who came and lived a perfect life of faith which worketh by love. And I love the fact that our Savior and Lord is a human being. He's also the Son of God. He's the Son of God who gives us eternal life, and he's the Son of Man who gives us everlasting life. So we need to keep that in mind. So that first beast is a secular system of 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. And we talk about it being a multinational system. The second beast in Revelation is a false prophet. It's a lamb with 2 horns. This is a religious beast of Judaism and paganism. Judaism? Judaism was corrupted. In Jesus' day, they had taken the Ten Commandments and they made hundreds of laws. Well, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath? Okay, well, let's see. You can take so many steps on the Sabbath that after that, it becomes work. They made up rules and regulations to try to prove that they were keeping the law. The law wasn't given to us to think that we can keep it. The law was given to us as a schoolmaster to show us that we can't keep it, but there's one who can. And that's what's happened to Judaism. It's been corrupted. Paganism, there is so much paganism in our worship today of traditions and all. And it goes back to Babylon and Nimrod and a lot of things, even back to the garden, Adam and Eve. Our whole, I could even say that even Easter and Christmas is corrupted. There are so many things that are corrupted in this world that Satan has used to try to subjugate God's people. So that second beast causes the first beast to be worshipped. Okay? All right? And then there's an image of this beast. Like, you know, it's amazing that Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's the Lamb of God. Satan wants himself to be worshipped, and he gives us a seven-headed beast. So Jesus is our wonderful Savior, the image of God. He wants to have his image worship. And so he has a beast with seven heads, and he has a whore that sits on that beast. All right? So we need to see that these are pictures and of things that are spiritual in nature. They're not. It says that this woman sits on many waters. Well, I don't know of any woman that's big enough to sit on all the waters of the world. It has to be a system, okay? And that the beast comes out of the sea of humanity, all right? And the dragon is a sea monster. It is a monster that will come out of the sea of mankind. And right now, like I said, he is limited by what he can do until the Lord allows him to be released for a season. He's limited, but he will come one more time. That seventh head is the last kingdom that he wants to use to subjugate mankind. So in Revelation 20, we talked about that thousand-year time that he's loosed for a season. In Revelation 17, it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." She's everywhere. Religion's everywhere. "With whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast." That's the beast that has seven heads. "Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." By the way, I think it's amazing that the ten is usually a number of commandments. The Lord's given us ten commandments, and Satan hates them all. And he breaks them all. He is a murderer. He is a thief. He wants a diversity of gods, like I said. So he violates all the Ten Commandments. Okay? "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup of her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." This is John speaking. Then we go to Revelation 13 and look a little bit more at this beast. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea," out of humanity, like I was saying, "having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." It sounds like the same beast to me. Okay, so that religious system in 17 is spelled out in reference to that great whore, the mother of harlots, and now we're talking about this beast in Revelation 13 that she sits upon. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet were as feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." It's been said that there are basically three races of people on the earth, yellow, black, and white. This beast is a leper. That's the three basic colors. He uses mankind, and he gives the power to mankind to be like a leper with a bear that has feet to slash and kill, and a lion with great teeth to kill. Okay, so he's going to give mankind the authority, the power, to blaspheme God, to have a system that will try to subjugate mankind. And caught up in all that, of course, is where does God's children lie in that? We are to resist this system. We are to fight. We are to rely on God in Christ. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I believe that was the Roman Empire, the sixth head that seemingly fell, but it came back through church over state. And we know that we entered the Dark Ages thereafter. This has been, and there has been up to 60 million of God's children called Anabaptists, baptized again, who were murdered by the church, the so-called church at that time. That's 60,000 people average a year for 1,000 years. So there's been a lot of coming against God's children in the Dark Ages. Okay? And you would think, well, this is a king, a sixth head that's pretty marvelous. Here it is, mankind has united somewhat, but not really. Because the seventh head is when they finally will unite. And I believe that Satan will use mankind as that leper to do his bidding. Okay? And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. We know that Jesus' ministry was 42 months, 3.5 years. So he came against Satan. Satan even came to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Okay? He knew he was the Son of God. And he wanted to make the Son of Man fall, I believe. In his humanity, he appealed. We're all attacked by the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, and pride of life. He attacked Christ on these three avenues, and Christ won all of them by saying, it is written. Okay? That's what we are to do. And he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll fall down and worship me. Could you imagine that? Isn't that what Satan wants today? He wants us all in a world system to worship Satan himself. That's what, I mean, he tried to get Christ to do that. Christ did not, overcame that. Had Jesus Christ worshiped Satan, we would have no Savior. We would all be going to the lake of fire. So thank God that our Lord and Savior won that victory that day. After being without food for 40 days, he faced this, and then he began his ministry for 3.5 years, and Satan came against him during that time. And he thought he had him defeated when he got the Judaistic leaders to crucify him. No? Death was swallowed up in victory. He was made to be. I believe, and this is a hard statement to make, Jesus Christ was made the same nature as our old nature and the same nature as Satan for 3 hours. And he suffered the damnation that caused for, and the wrath of God was on him. But he did not sin. He never practiced sin, but he was made to be sin. So we need to get our hands around and our arms around that to see our own depravity. He was made what we are. If we're not that bad, then why did he die? We are bad. We do want to worship a false system of religion and have in our right hand and our forehead those things that are against God. We need to be warned of that. And so blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. He said, remember the leaders of that day said, well, you're healing in the name of Satan, by the power of Satan. They were attributing the things that Christ was doing to activities of Satan. That's blasphemy. Satan blasphemes God's church. He hates election. He hates it. That's why it's not a very popular doctrine in the world today. He's come against it. And we worship God in spirit and truth and believe that God did save his children from their sin, that he did choose us before the foundation of the world, that Jesus did take our damnation for 3 hours and was resurrected at 3 p.m. by the Father. Then he said, it is finished. Satan's head's bruised. Yeah, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and laid down his body. He had the power to do that, and 3 days later he picked it up, and he was resurrected. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven to do what? To sit down at the right hand of the Father to rule and reign in a now kingdom. But now we have this little being called Satan that's been bound, that's about to be loose for a season, to bring everybody together in opposition against Christ. And he's going to lose that one too. But during that time, and I don't know how long it's going to last. It says for a little season. I don't want to scare everyone to think that that's coming tomorrow. I don't know when it's coming. It may be years from now. We may see a semblance of peace again and common sense in this in our country. But something tells me it might not go that way. And we got to be ready. If we're ready, it doesn't matter what happens, because it says that we're to fear the one who can destroy the body and destroy the soul. Satan can't touch us. And if we've experienced physical death, we're going to heaven. So he doesn't touch us. And we are the tabernacle of the living God, made up of members, living stones. So Satan blasphemes that. And he blasphemes your individual worship tabernacle inside. And this is made without hands. There is no physical church out. This building means nothing. This building is going to be destroyed one day. All the worship places that of the beast system will be destroyed one day. We need to learn to draw together and to do what we can to love each other, because it's coming a day when we're going to need that. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and the power was given him over all kindreds, all tongues, all nations, and all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. By the way, you got to have an ear before you hear. Therefore, you got to be born again before you can hear the Spirit of God. So this is talking to God's children. It's a warning. God's children, you have an ear, listen up. You need to listen. Okay, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. I already mentioned that. The combination of Judaism and paganism. Okay, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, the secular beast, that the scarlet colored beast was that the mother of harlots was sitting on in Revelation 17, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. It's amazing how religion can call down fire from heaven and send you to hell. if you don't do this, this, and this, you're going to hell. All the Buddhists going to hell, all the Hindus going to hell. No, God has his children everywhere. God writes his laws in his children's hearts, and I don't care where you live. I don't care how much money you have. I don't even care how many cells your body has. You can be saved at one cell dig. Many of us as parents have children that are in heaven and we never even seen. There's probably more people in heaven that never came or manifested outside the womb. Praise God. Our Lord is big. He ruleth. Isn't that amazing? Okay. But there are those that can call down fire from heaven. They will destroy you by a work system, and hey, they want to subjugate your right hand and your forehead and make you do things that are contrary to God's teachings. So, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the womb by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You can call that holography or whatever you want. There's a technological system. We already seen the technology on TV of how imagery is powerful. It's coming. All right? Thou shalt get a vaccination, that's mild compared to what's going to happen in the future. Okay? So, be ready. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's the number of man. That was the day he was created on. Satan's going to use man. He's going to make a he's going to let that leper loose. And I think it's going to be worse than Hitler. I think it's going to be worse than Genghis Khan or any Stalin or any of the leaders that we've had in the past. So, my prayer is that God would give us wisdom and let us hear. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that your Son, Jesus Christ, bore our sin and has already won the victory over sin and death. We know, Lord, that we are looking toward troubled times when that seventh head will appear and try to subjugate mankind. Your word warns us, and help us to have ears to hear, to be ready, Father. Help us, Lord, to only worship you, and may our right hand and our foreheads never submit to a beast system, never submit to a system of subjugation, never submit to a doctrines of Nicolaitans, which means control of the people, absolute force to control people, and they have no will. We thank you, Father, for giving us freedom. We thank you for letting us be a free people. Although the system around us may try to take our freedom away, they can never take away our freedom in thee. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Please bless those mentioned that are sick and afflicted, and that they will have a measure of grace to overcome or to go through whatever it is that they're going through. We ask the blessings and the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.